All right, we got Thursday night football coming up. That is tomorrow, Cincinnati and the Miami Dolphins. Monroe is in here today. Joe Rose on his way to Cincinnati, I believe, with the team. They're probably either on the flight or getting ready. I'm not sure, but they are getting out of here as early as they possibly can today. We were talking about the Thursday night football game, and I know that one thing did come out was yesterday, those Cincinnati Bengal jerseys. They're pretty fire.
Things are sweet.
Yeah, I mean, they are pretty fire. I mean, we could get into all the breakdown of Tua and Burrow and all that.
Things are sweet.
But those are some cool-ass jerseys.
Well, you know,
Dolphins got a counter with something, right?
The throwbacks. Make the throwbacks permanent. I don't get why they don't do that. The Dolphins throwback jerseys are pretty damn sweet as well.
Yeah.
Why don't you just make those permanent jerseys?
Might as well.
I know why they do it. I know why they don't. Money.
Oh, they got to sell different jerseys. Right.
It's just annoying, though, because when you look at it, you're like, damn, they look good. Like, those jerseys are fire. And then you see all over Twitter and Instagram, keep the old school jerseys. And I'm like, yeah, I would too, because those are fresh.
Right.
Just like these ones are, those are pretty damn fresh. White helmet with that thing on there, not all white.
That's nice.
It's pretty clean.
Yeah, it's pretty
clean. It's going to be pretty clean today. Like, I wanted the Dolphins to counter with the throwback jerseys.
Okay,
tonight.
I would have been perfectly fine with that. I don't know what the jersey selection is going to be. I haven't seen anything like that. But Cincinnati throwing those out there for that Thursday night, that's pretty impressive. All right, what I wanted to get to also is, yeah, we'll talk Dolphins-Bengals. If you got any texts, you can send them in 305-567-0560. We did talk a little bit about the Marlins poster. We'll get back into that as well. But Monroe is here, does the pregame show with Hollywood, and is on campus a lot, practice a lot. So I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. And, of course, we talk about the Middle Tennessee State game. I know it's in the background at this point. We're looking forward. North Carolina coming up in a week and change from now. But I do have to see what your opinion is on the number one topic now when it comes to this Hurricane football team. Tyler Van Dyke. Jake Garcia comes in the game. Looks decent. Looks good. I mean, nothing wrong with that. It didn't look like how Tyler looked at the end of last season, last seven or eight games last year. But Tyler looks different. Offense has changed. Tyler looks different. I wanted to see what your opinion was on this because he doesn't look very Tyler Van Dyke-ish at that point where he was going for – we were talking about the ACC record last year of 300-plus yard games and touchdowns every game and him just going – bananas. Different guy so far, but is that the different offense or a different guy at this point?
I think there's a couple things to it. And, you know, at first I was looking at it with, okay, I know quarterbacks have told me in the past it takes some time to get adjusted to new offenses, you know, new verbiage, new checks, new everything. And I said, okay, give him a couple of the games, we're good. Then we got a couple games into it. I'm like, he still doesn't look like he did last year, as far as his confidence, his body language, his release, how he throws, everything just looks different. Then we go into the Texas A&M game, and I go, okay, cool. Tyler's going to be the difference maker, right? If you look at all these teams and where they look at roster-wise and depth chart-wise and everything else, you know, the X factor is going to be Tyler. This is the game. Everyone talks about you having potential to be a first-round pick. Everyone talks about, I don't know why, you're going to be in a Heisman chase. Well, this is the game. Prime time, 9 o'clock.
Right, of course.
And then we watch the game, and we have seven drops, and he probably misses about 4 to 5 throws that were gimmies that you would never have seen last year. So then we go, okay, well, it's not that, it's that. It's got to be, to me, it's one of those things where you say, coaches sometimes try to outsmart themselves, right? Instead of just
they think they're smarter than everyone else.
This is my quarterback. This is what he does well. Let's surround him with that and see what he does. Let's not try to force him into a different system like we talked about off air. Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson couldn't be in a pro-style offense.
No, he's not that guy.
Because that's
right.
Not him.
Right,
guess what they did? They put an offense that he succeeds in, and he became an MVP, and he's one of the best guys in the league.
Built the offense around him.
For me, we saw what Coach Lashley did with our offenses the last couple of years. We saw what TVD looked like in a spread. Why not just go back to that? Why not, if you're Gattis, to say what we ran at Alabama when we had Judy and stuff like that in a spread, not your traditional power eye like they do. We do not have the players to run this offense.
Right.
We don't. It sucks to say it.
No, no, I get it. I totally get it.
But we don't roster-wise. You know, fans always say this, and, oh, this recruit's a four-star. I don't care what their star says on recruiting services. It doesn't mean anything once you get on the bright lights. When you look at it, listen to what Coach Cristobal said the whole entire camp. Go back and read the articles. What did he say about our wide receivers? They were inconsistent, too many drops, and only one guy was the most consistent guy. Restrepo.
Right.
And guess where he's at?
Not playing.
Right. So now we have to worry about, do we have a guy that we can trust? I said it from when we were on the show working from camp. There were three guys that stood out to me in training camp. Restrepo, Ladson, and Keyshawn Smith. Everyone else, I saw drops when I was at
just
practice.
Guys, right.
They were just Jags. So in the first couple games, Keyshawn wasn't really focused on. Ladson really was on a spotlight. And I'm like, what's going on? Because these are the only guys that we saw
right.
catch the ball. Next game comes out, and it's everybody else, and it just drops. And then finally this game, you start seeing Keyshawn Smith and Ladson making the tough throws. And I'm like, where was that in Texas A&M? So I think they're outsmarting themselves right now. Honestly, I think TVD has a lot more going on within himself than anything else. You know, we know sports are mental, and sometimes you got to get out of your own head and just play ball. But I also think that Coach Gattis needs to sit back and say, well, something's not working. Maybe this offense is too smart. Maybe this offense hasn't worked for this personnel. Let's dumb it down, and let's just let these kids go play ball, because what it's doing right now is not working. You know, the defense played great against Texas A&M, and then they came out and laid a goose egg against Middle Tennessee
right.
State.
Ugh.
And it's not even like – it's not like it's anything rocket science. It's not like Middle Tennessee State ran this, you know, complex offense. They literally just said, I want it more than you. I'm going to whoop your ass right now. And number three, he scored again. He just scored another touchdown right now.
Instead of 98 yards, he went 99.
And it's not like it was some crazy double move. It was a nine route. It's just like, you can't stay with me. And again, you got to look at your personnel. Do we have the guys to compete? Been saying it for the whole time since Cristobal's in. He's got himself a project on his hand. He's going to have to flip this roster. And everyone goes, what does that mean? What do you guys keep harping on culture? Okay, I'll give you an example. When Manny Diaz was here and Mike Hartley came on and said, as wide receivers, we weren't doing enough. We were doing the bare minimum. We weren't doing anything extra. There's a reason why in 2 of the 3 years, transfers were your best wide receiver.
Right,
KJ Osborne and
Charleston
Rambo.
Yeah.
So that tells me the guys in your locker room didn't have what it takes to be great, didn't want to be great, didn't want to put in the extra work. Okay, that's a culture issue. Well, after this game, Sky Clark came out and said, yeah, you know, we just overlooked these guys. Hmm. We didn't think anything much of them. We were going to beat them regardless. What?
Are you Alabama? You Georgia?
You literally just lost. You're going into a bye week.
Right.
We haven't won anything in 20 years. Who are we to say we overlook any team at this point? So that right there tells you that we're still in a process of
changing everything.
Changing.
Yeah.
Now, I get it. There's some nice pieces on this team that you can build around. But it's going to take time. You know, as Canes fans, it's going to take time and a little bit of patience. And if you're like me, make sure you get your favorite bottle ready, because the season's not going to go the way that everyone thinks it's going to go. And that's when it was interesting at the beginning, preseason. What's your expectations? I was like, I don't know, 8-4 at best, 9-3. And you get looked at crazy, and you're like,
right.
Why? And you're like, look at your roster. Look at what you're competing with. I said, you got to go away to Texas A&M and Clemson this year. They're in 5 years, and what's Dabo been there, 10 years of rebuilding up their program. We're in year one, coming off a 7-win season, coming off a team that had one guy drafted, coming off with nobody made a preseason poll unless it was Zion Nelson, who wasn't even starting the year.
Right, that's a good point.
Or our punter.
Right, or the
and I got a lot of love for Lou, but
yeah, of course,
it's just one of those things that I know Canes fans hate to hear it, but realistically, you have to look at it and say, we're not there, we're a good distance away from there, but we will get there. There is a little bit of hope. The run game looking good, Henry Parrish looking good, Mezador looking great, defensive line showing promise, offensive line showing promise, unless they throw blitzes at them, then they're confused. But
that's a problem.
There is hope now. It's going to be one of those things where we call it come to Jesus moment. Coach Saul, one of the best coaches ever to walk through University of Miami, used to say, you got to look that man in the mirror If you ain't got that man right, he doesn't want to be great, your team's never going to be great. So those kids are going to have a lot of this week of come to Jesus moments. Do you really want to be here? Do you really want to put in the work? Do you want to be great, or you want to keep getting your ass whooped? That's it. Coach Cristobal and the coaches can only say so much.
Right. No, I get that. I mean, they can't go out on the field and play.
No.
I mean, and I think that the whole – what I think happened was with a lot of fans is you've been waiting so long to be great again. Not good again. Great again. And
I take being good right now.
No, and I think – well, I think that's
give
what,
me some
where the problem is.
Give me some 10-digit win seasons.
Is that there's a ladder to get there. There's a ladder to get great. And being great means sustainable good. And when you're sustainable good, you're great. When you're 5 or 6 years of winning 10 games, you end up being a great team.
Yes.
And that happens to not that many teams around college football, because you could see a team who has 2 or 3 really good years, 10 wins, 11 wins, 2 New Year's Day bowl games, maybe the playoffs 1 year. Wow, we're on our way there. Then they have a bad season. They got to regroup a little bit. The Canes haven't been there in a very long time, and I think that the expectation of Mario coming in here day one and changing everything within an hour of him being here, and I think he did the right things when he first got here. I thought the greatest thing he did, and I know that I've harped on this a million times, he did his press conference in that suit, whatever it was, got that really tiny baby jersey.
That was hilarious. I was there.
They just showed – the only reason I bring that up is because they just showed that again, yeah. I think, on some Mario thing that I was watching on, like, the ACC Network. And they showed that again. And then he went right to – I think it was Booker T, whatever it was, or Central, right. He went right away because he knows what the deal is. And I just think that a lot of people, the expectation of bringing in a new coach – and it's always nice bringing in a new coach. Ask the Dolphins. Ask teams around the NFL and college football. You bring in a new guy, okay – we feel better. We can breathe a little easier. Mario's here. We're going to do it. And I think he can do it and will do it. The difference is it's not going to be in an hour.
No.
And I think a lot of Canes fans, their patience level is an hour.
Well, I mean, listen, what is fans short for? Fanatics.
Or, right.
And that's why you love them, because they're crazy. But
and it's not just Canes. Gators, Knowles, the whole deal. Everybody.
Fan
right.
Base is the
I'm not
same
just
way.
Harping on, oh, no, all you Canes fans out
well,
there.
Well, look
right.
at the Gators. The Gators thought after they beat Utah they were going to
here
the
we
championship.
Go. Right. I was that guy.
And their quarterback still – oh, wait, he has thrown a touchdown pass finally this last game, but it took 4. Okay.
It took a decent
but
game.
That's the decent, realistically. But – when it comes down to it, you look at what Coach Cristobal did. Like you mentioned, he went to Miami Central, and guess he landed the piece that he wanted.
That's
in,
right.
In Wesley Bissaint. Wesley Bissaint is a true freshman. Wesley Bissaint shouldn't have to make a crazy impact right now. But guess what? He's probably our second or third best linebacker
right.
already.
Right.
Unfortunately, he's a true freshman, so the game's faster to him. He doesn't know the playbook like the back of his hand, but he will. He will get there. It's just not – he's not there yet. And once he stacks those recruiting classes, stacks that depth, goes in the transfer portal, you're going to see a change. It's just going to take a year or two. I mean, we're not even in a full year.
I know.
Which Coach Cristobal, and we want to win the ACC. I was like, boy, you guys – I want whatever y'all are smoking or drinking if you think that's what's going to happen right away. And I get it. Well, you got TVD. You got this quarterback.
Well, I think that has a lot
that
to do with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but
you bring in Mario. You see what Tyler did at the end of last year. That was my whole thing that I even told you before. Between Mario and a new coaching staff and Tyler Van Dyke being the leader of this team or the best – I could say best player, whatever it is, because I'm sure there's a – you know, James Williams or Taylor, these guys might be better pros in a couple of years. But right then and there – it was okay. You bring in Mario. You brought Gaddis in. You got Kevin Steele, Charlie Strong. Holy moly. That's already an upgrade on this team. And you got Tyler Van Dyke coming back after the season he just had when he filled in for De'Aaron King. Oh, my God. Guys, and I said this around the round table with Hollywood and Joe, that's the reason why I think we'll beat Texas A&M. Why?
Well,
Tyler Van Dyke.
You look at Texas A&M, and they should have beat Texas A&M.
Right.
You know,
they outplayed them.
They outplayed them. They did everything better than Texas A&M. Let's just call it what it is.
The end zone.
Except. They shot themselves in the foot.
Right.
But this game here is kind of the game where you look back and say, man, we actually haven't taken a step forward. We actually really don't have those pieces. And you know what? Okay. Temper my expectations a little bit. Sit back and watch Mario work. Help out whoever I can.
Right.
And just go from there, because I see where we're at. You know? Got to listen to what the guys say, because they're not lying to you. There isn't consistently in the wide receiver room. We saw it.
Got to get there at some point. It's going to take a little bit of time, but once it's there, it's going to feel very nice once you're there. By the way, if you're listening to The Ticket, you're hearing Miami's number one and iconic sports station, WQAM. If you're a 790 listener, welcome, and make WQAM your first choice for sports. That other voice is Brian Monroe. Joe Rose on his way to Cincinnati, Hollywood in the back, getting his next traffic report all ready to go. We'll take a break. We'll be back right after this. You want to go see a Heat game, by the way? Well, you got a chance for you to win a pair of tickets. It's easy to get into the contest. Just go to WQAM.com and enter. If we pick your name, it's that easy. You'll win a pair of tickets. See the Heat play the Raptors at FTX Arena on October 24th. Sponsored by the Miami Media School. They can prepare you for a career in just 8 months. Miami Media School offers day and evening classes and financial aid for those who qualify. Call them today at 305-728-1120 or visit online at beonair.com/location/Miami. Easy way to get a couple Heat tickets for October 24th versus the Raptors. QAM.com, your destination for that. All right, so we talked a lot of Canes in the last segment. We have a couple texts coming in. I wanted to read them to you. And by the way, someone did text in per the Dolphins account and Travis Wingfield, who does a post-game show and works for the Dolphins and their podcast.
Travis
does
a great job.
Yeah, Travis, good guy. Dolphins are going all aqua.
Oh, color rush.
Uniform for Thursday night to go against that sweet white jersey that the
that white
Bengals
is pretty smooth. Yeah. I gotta give them that. Yeah. Their white's pretty smooth. They're playing with right now ain't pretty smooth, but you know.
No.
But the white's pretty smooth. Oh, that's gonna look dope though. Then tomorrow. That all white versus all aqua.
That'll be fun.
That'll be fresh.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Thursday night football. You hear it right here on WQAM. Dolphins and Bengals. Short week for the Dolphins and a little bit of time off. How about the Dolphins so far, Monroe? I know we'll switch it up a little bit and go from Canes to Dolphins. Just like what everyone thought, 3-0, number one team in the power rankings around the NFL.
I mean, look, I did have a buddy of mine's. He's like, bro, we're going to go 4-0. Now, granted, I win a bottle of Crown off him every year off the Dolphins bet. But I go, look, I can see the Dolphins coming out 2-2.
Right.
I can see the Dolphins, maybe if something crazy happens, 3-1. But there's no way in hell.
With a loss to the Bills.
There's no way in hell they're coming out 4-0. And here we are at 3-0. And you know what? You have to give not only Tua a lot of, you know, praise, but Coach McDaniels a lot of praise for kind of changing now the culture. We talked about the culture, and you know, everyone's coming into it like, oh, what's this nerd gonna do? How's he gonna go in front of these 6'7" guys?
Nerd, Harry Potter, we got it all when he got hired, right?
And I go, it's very easy. Can I trust the guy? Can I see that he has a vision? And when I look at his game plan, is it right? Because, you know, when you're a pro, you know exactly who's in your locker room. And, you know, people always say, oh, yeah, every team thinks about the Super Bowl. No, they don't. No, they don't. Guys in the pros know exactly what's up. They know that dude over there made the 53 sucks. And we're probably going to lose 3 games because of that guy right there. And it happens. And I've heard all types of stories from buddies of mine. But if you look at Coach McDaniels, he comes in, look, we have Waddle, we have Hill, two of the fastest guys in the NFL. We're going to do route combinations like this. We're going to stack you on this side. Imagine if I get you on a safety. Imagine if I get you on a linebacker, if I move you in motion. Those guys are just like, damn, this could be exciting. Then you got Kosicki who's sitting in the middle like, well, shoot, if they get all the
lost
the coverages,
Mike Kosicki, right?
I'm going to get some looks. Then you have the run game like, yeah, our run game sucked the last 5 years, but we're going to do this type of concept. We're going to move you here. We're going to do this. It gives you hope to say, oh, we can do this. We can play with anybody. Now, you open up with the Patriots.
Right.
You beat the Patriots. You've done a great job beating the Patriots in Miami. So that wasn't a shocker. I think where this belief took that next level in what McDaniels and his coaching staff want to do is the comeback on the road against
of course.
Lamar
right.
Jackson.
Yep.
Because, you know, the whole talk about Tua's been this. Tua can't throw downfield. Okay, well, he showed you can throw downfield. Tua's like, can't win on the road. All right, well, he won on the road.
Right.
Tua can't come. There's no way he can come back because he can't throw
in
the ball.
In a shootout, right.
Well, not only did he come back, he did it against an historical performance by Lamar Jackson. The numbers that Lamar put up in that game, you're like, damn. There's no way Tua can compete with that.
We had guys on all week after that national analyst. The first thing I said was, can you imagine if Tua didn't throw for 469 yards and 6 touchdowns? We'd be talking about the fact that Lamar did it again. 300-plus yards, couple touchdowns, 100 and change on the ground, including a 79-yard run that we all thought that was the coffin. That was it. Curtains at that point, right.
Done. And they come down and they win. And I think that's exactly where this locker room said, we can achieve all of our goals. And I'm sure, you know, they got the coach talk, yeah, we're going to go to the Super Bowl. I think their real goal was this year, make the playoffs. Win the division, make the playoffs, and then everything just goes from there. Because when's the last time this team won the playoffs? I mean, made the playoffs?
They made the playoffs in 08 and 16.
Okay. And then when's the last time they won a playoff game?
That was 2000.
Okay. So, realistically, let's get to the playoffs. Step one. This is a process. This is year one, new offense, new coaches. Let's make the playoffs. And I think they're doing a great job, and it's been exciting to watch. I'm sure Dolphins fans have been nuts. We saw the stadium on Sunday with the Bills.
Right.
And you get Byron Jones back probably in 2 weeks. Thank goodness. That defense, right, because we still know that pass defense is shaky.
Right. But it's shaped around two top-flight cornerbacks, and you don't have one right now.
And, I mean, literally, I know in preseason, everyone's like, well, what do you do if you're the opposing offense? Well, you find Noah and you go at him.
That's it.
That's it. And
or whoever. It didn't even matter. When it was Noah Igbinoghi, it was a different story. Oof. Because, I mean, this guy doesn't even see a field. He doesn't even see a field. He was inactive in game one. But, yeah, I mean, listen, all good quarterbacks, doesn't matter, or decent quarterbacks. Offensive coordinators are going to look at the field and say, all right, Xavier Howard's on the left, and he's covering this guy. It doesn't matter who is covering our number two or number three guy. They're not a number two or number three cornerback. So you're right. That's the way you do it. In the NFL, they pick on that more than anyone. They do it in the preseason.
Yeah.
Forget about the regular season. They do it in the preseason.
And I think the one thing that should give Dolphins fans hope, and, you know, last game, oh, well, Tua didn't win that game. Oh, well, Tua won the game before that. Good teams find ways to win. You're right. It wasn't Tua's game last week against the Bills. But guess what he didn't do? He didn't throw an interception.
Right, he didn't do anything to lose the game.
He didn't lose the game. He made some great plays to Waddle, some good reads, the bomb in the middle to Waddle.
Dude, that third and 22 pass was one of the greatest passes Tua's ever thrown.
The defense was lights out.
Right.
The week before, defense didn't play that well. But Tua was lights out. That's when you know you're starting to see a good team find ways to win. Now, you got Cincinnati Bengals coming up Thursday night. This is going to be a great test for that defense because Ja'Marr Chase is that dude.
He's sick.
And they have one of the best receiving cores in the league. Now, they didn't start the year the way they wanted, but they looked good last week. They started to get in their rhythm. You got Joe Burrow, who is the guy. Joe Burrow is a great quarterback. And I think it's another test that you look at and said, if you said to Dolphins fans, after the first four games, which looked like a gauntlet, you came out of here at worst 3-1.
Dude, give it to me 6 days a week and twice on Sunday, bro.
I mean,
come on.
And now there's a realistic chance that you get out of here at 4-0.
Right.
And you break down your season, obviously, in quarters.
Right.
And you just look at it as, all right, we got the first block, 4-0. Man, 4-0 with the Dolphins?
No chance.
So glad I didn't make the bets with my Dolphins fans.
Right. Listen, I'm as optimistic as a Dolphins fan as there was. McDaniel hiring, I obviously don't know much about him, so you didn't know. And the first time we spoke to him, because me, Hollywood, and Joe, the day of his intro press conference, he did all the ringer. He did his press conference. He talked to all the TV stations. And we got him last.
Did the car wash.
At the end of the day, at the end of the car wash, when you're basically done, you want to go home, the whole day is over, he sat down with us, and I figured we'd get, like, you know, 8 or 10 good minutes. He sat with us for 30 minutes, basically, and did an interview. When we were done, I looked at Hollywood and Joe and went, I've never seen that or heard that before. And not because he just was spitting out these masterful plans of what he's going to do, but just his style of person and what a head coach could look like in that kind of that mindset. And I just was like, this is different. This is not Flores. It's not Gase. It's not Cam Cameron. It's not Nick Saban. It's not any of the interim coaches, the Dan Campbells of the world and the Todd Bowles of the world. This is something I've never seen before. Will it work? I don't know. But, man, if it does, it's going to look a lot different around here in Miami Gardens in South Florida.
And that's the reason why I was kind of excited to do this outside the box hire, because what they've done for the last 20 years hasn't worked. So do something different. Go to this quote-unquote genius when it comes to X's and O's and offensive game planning and plays and scheming the whole nine yards. If it don't work, okay, at least you tried something new.
Right, that's it.
You know, you've been trying the norm over and over and over again and failing over and over again. Give me something new. If I was a Dolphins fan, I'd be like, listen, I've had heartache for I don't know how many years.
A long time.
A long time.
Right.
I don't care if he looks like this. I don't care the way he talks. He's got his glasses, a dork, whatever you want to call him. If he wins, I don't care. And now, if I had to critique anything, the run game needs to
He came in here. And
that's fine.
Right.
That's fine. It's going to take some time.
I didn't think that the Tua kind of quote-unquote issue would be fixed first.
Well, I don't
even with Hill and Waddle.
I don't think it's fixed.
No, but got to where it is now.
Well, I do, because you talk about two of the best receivers when it comes to Yak. It's literally just get the ball in his hands, right? I don't need to throw 100 times down the field 50 yards. I can throw a slant. He's going to turn it into a 50-yard
touchdown. Go, an 8-yard catch into a 48-yard
And that's what people
play,
don't realize. Right. When you have guys with those type of speeds, you scheme it up just to get the ball in their hands because they're going to take a route that a normal receiver would make 6 yards and then make it 16. And that doesn't really show up on the quote-unquote stat sheet.
Right.
But that's how you change a quarterback and an offense instantly, but that's also how you change his confidence. And you see Tua's confidence. You saw it all summer long, all training camp long, with all his different interviews that he had with the swag. And the one I love, the one comment that he had with the bomb that he had in practice that Tyreek, he goes, look good to me. In the bucket. And that just shows you, one, the guys are having fun at practice. They're grinding. They're working. But they could see something.
They believe in McDaniel.
That could be successful.
Yeah.
And right now, it has been successful. And it's exciting to watch. Like, I'm not a Dolphins fan. We'll just say what it is. But now, I look forward to that 1 o'clock game and watching Dolphins. Because, one, I just hated how people were criticizing Tua the first couple of years. And all my friends that are Dolphins fans, oh, this and they sucks. And I go, bro, your run game has been the worst his first 2 years. The offensive line has been bottom three the first 2 years. He's been hurt the first year. Relax. Give him some weapons, and let's see what he does. And if he can't play in this league, guess what? He'll get fired like everyone else that sucks. He'll become a backup. He'll make $1 million a year, and call it a day, you'll never hear from him again. But let's see what he does with some pieces that if people say, I know who that is. You didn't know who was on this Dolphins roster the last couple of years on offense.
No, come on.
Come on.
Yeah.
There's a reason why there's two new starting running backs.
Right, right. And the running back that was here is inactive every week, Miles Gaskin, right?
And it's just one of those things, as Dolphins fans, it gives you hope. There's so much excitement around the Dolphins now. This fins up, baby. You see it all around Miami, where I live. And it's like, you now look at Tua and say, this is the quarterback they drafted with the 5th pick.
You ever met a patient Dolphin or Canes fan?
Have you ever met somebody in South Florida that's patient?
Exactly. So when you said before, everyone just be careful, I was just going to be like, you know, that's
we talked
work,
about right? driving earlier. We know we ain't got no patience for sports. Right. And then we bring in fantasy.
I know.
And you betting.
Can't do it. Are we going to headlines next, or are we skipping that because it's a rain? We are. Okay, then I'm sorry. We stole his time. Let's go to break. Hollywood's headlines next.
And now. It's time for Hollywood's Headlines. Without further ado, here's Hollywood.
All right, I took enough of your time up. Go, Hollywood, go.
All right, we jump into the Pro Bowl here, which will be no longer. Peyton Manning and Omaha Productions are going to replace it with a skills competition and a flag football game.
More stuff to bet on.
This is terrible. This is terrible.
Well,
okay.
Pro Bowl stunk.
Pro Bowl has been around since 1951.
Look, I love the skills aspect. I want them to go back to old school, bring back the fastest man competition, bring back the bench press, best hands, do all that good stuff. Flag football? Flag?
Well, it's going to be what? It's going to be the flag football game, and there's going to be, like, skill stuff, too. So you will get some skill stuff.
I thought that was leading up to it. So we're going
to
do a skills thing
in
the flag football?
No.
What are the fat guys going to do? They're not playing no 11-on-11 flag football.
I don't think they will be.
So what are the fat guys going to do? Interact with the crowd?
Probably.
Listen, you know what they should do?
Eating contest.
No. They should get fans involved.
What?
They should get fans involved. They literally should
do against the players?
An old school pros versus Joes. All the keyboard warriors out there, you can sign up. Everybody you talk trash about, we're going to go old school Oklahoma. Strap it up. Linebackers, running backs versus that guy that talks so much trash about his NFL team player. And let's see what you got.
All right, so what if I signed up Hollywood and he went up Oklahoma drill against somebody? But let's just say Hollywood hurt one of the guys by accident, then how are you going to feel?
No, I don't care.
What if he hurt your star running back?
He's still going to get hurt in flag football.
Yeah, you're right.
Talk about the weekend Warriors. Ask about everybody with torn ACLs.
That's true.
All right, let me keep it moving here. LeBron James, Draymond Green, and Kevin Love. This is breaking news here this morning. Are purchasing a Major League pickleball team.
Whoa.
They have a group, of course, with Maverick Carter and others here. And the team, yet to be named, will be part of MLP, I guess, is Major League Pickleball. Their expansion to 16 teams.
What the hell is pickleball?
You never heard of pickleball before?
You don't know pickleball?
Is that like butts up, throw it against the walls? No?
It's like a mix between ping pong and tennis.
Right.
Ping pong and
it's like,
tennis.
Imagine what, like, if you split the difference between ping pong and tennis.
Such a perfect way.
Yeah, there's definitely two things I'm not playing.
Ping pong? You don't play ping pong?
Man, where's a ping pong table at nowadays? You got a ping pong table?
Are you one of those, like, really strong guys that just lacks coordination? Like, you're not good at stuff like ping pong or.
Coordination?
Yeah.
Bruh. You ever see my dance moves?
No, I haven't. You never invite me out. I mean, you're wearing the club hat this morning. You know you never invite
me. I played soccer my whole life. Mm.
I tell you every Saturday when I see you, I'm waiting on an invite to somewhere.
Oh, I mean, I don't go. I go on the boat. You know what I'm saying?
He's been looking for a boat invite.
For my invite.
He's been looking for that boat
invite. Our next guest, Dave Hyde, has been asking Dave Hyde. Dave's got a boat. No invite yet.
But Brian's situation is a little different than Dave Hyde's situation.
I agree.
I got you. I'm just trying to get you on a boat, bro.
I told him, look, I'll even leave here early. I'll get out of here 9 o'clock on Friday, whatever
if
needs
to happen. If you're going
on
a boat, you can
autopilot,
leave early. Yes.
Whatever
we
needs
ain't
to happen.
Leaving at no 10 o'clock in the morning.
You're going to have to miss the show.
These young ladies are hungover from the club, man. We got to take them out at like 2 or 3.
Well, I was hoping for a guy's trip, but.
What, are we going to look at each other?
I'll talk.
And talk and look at what? I'm not looking at you the whole time.
Have some food. Some,
you
some
need to
fishing,
get some tan,
maybe?
Man. Your brightness will have blind me on the boat. I need some muscle to look at. Sorry, bro.
What are we going to do? Look at
Brian will love me on the boat. I'll come out there. I'll have my long sleeve like fishing shirt on.
Right.
My bucket hat.
I got my boys to do the same thing.
Very nautical.
Oh, man.
All right. Let me keep
it going
here.
Nautical. I have to write that down.
Live Golf is nearing a deal here to get themselves on TV. The only difference is, you know how like all these big networks pay tons of money to get live programming?
Course.
Well, Liv is so toxic, they're going to have to pay Fox, of course it's Fox, to air their tournaments. So Liv is actually going to pay for the airtime here. Of course, if you have been not paying any attention to this, Liv Golf is funded by the Saudis and is basically a sport washing operation here so that you watch them play golf and forget about the fact they cut people's heads off.
Hey, listen, I know one or two things about Liv. I don't know about golf, but I know a couple of things about Liv.
Yeah,
you know what I always wondered
about Liv, and maybe you can get down to the bottom of this. Isn't Liv trademarked? Like the club Liv, they must have trademarked that name or whatever.
So,
and the golf thing completely stole it.
What I believe is they trademarked certain aspects, but I give you an example. You remember the Super Bowl, Liv was here.
Right.
So it's not like they could do anything to the Super
Bowl. But that's different, though, isn't it? Like, that's not confusing.
So I
they heard called it Super Bowl Liv, though.
I heard that.
Well, that's what they have to call it, though. Like,
I heard that.
You can't just skip it because a nightclub owns the name.
Yeah, I heard the CEO
Super Bowl 58.
Was having a hard time trademarking Liv stuff for his
club.
But it's
like the same logo, too.
Exactly.
For the crappy golf.
Well, that tells you what they really did with their Liv. And
anyway, guys, let's continue to not watch that. It's just bad.
Well, they're buying time.
You know? Yeah. Mm. All right. Here's something you can watch. Not until 2024, which is weird. Hugh Jackman will be back as Wolverine in Deadpool 3.
Ain't he dead?
With Ryan Reynolds.
That's what happened in Logan, right?
Ain't he dead?
He died at the end of that.
Well, that's a spoiler alert, but no, he's
what?
In he's
Logan
in the
movie.
Came out 10 years ago.
I don't know when the movie takes place, guys. I'm just relaying the news. I assume you watched the trailer yesterday.
I saw it.
Pretty,
I did see it.
Yeah.
I did not.
Popular deal.
Yeah, I did.
I did not.
You didn't see it? No.
I didn't even know Jackman was going to be
it
in
it. No, I was at the club, bro.
Oh, well, yeah. No, I want club row, you know what I'm saying? Club bed. Hey, you know, club bed back in the day.
Club
Monday,
bed.
Monday
right.
Nights,
real,
baby.
Right.
Brian's too cool for Deadpool.
100%.
Ah, man,
right,
I love
final
Deadpool.
Final story here.
He's
Mark
hilarious.
Zuckerberg.
Not the trailer.
Mark Zuckerberg, the scumbag behind Meta and Facebook and all that.
You kind of look like him.
Thanks, Brian. What are you saying? All white people look alike, Brian? Is that what you're
no,
saying?
No, just you and Zuckerberg.
I mean, I'm half white, so I guess I look like you, too.
I don't look like Zuckerberg.
No, you don't.
Right. And I don't look like Brian. So, like, right, we're good. We're good.
All right. Anyway, he lost more than half of his fortune this year, $26.8 billion since September 2021, dropping him from number three on the Forbes 400 list to number 11.
God,
he's
I would
now
love
worth $57.7 billion.
Love to have that problem.
I would love to have that problem.
Hey, guys, listen. I'd love to come in here on a Friday and be like, guys, listen, I lost half my fortune last night, and now I'm only worth $27 billion.
You wouldn't see me on a Friday if I was worth $27 billion.
No, I mean, hypothetically.
I'd be on the biggest yacht you can think of.
I know you'd be on a boat.
Taking hundreds and wiping away my tears of the billions that I lost.
No, so you'd be sweating Crown Royal.
Let's rephrase that. I would not be on a boat. I would be on a ship.
A ship, right?
I'd like to just read a quick text here for you guys since Brian said I look like Mark Zuckerberg. This came in 18 minutes ago. The guy from the 305 says, who's that douchebag on the air right now with Zach? Can't stand him switching stations.
Yes!
I think that's
yeah,
you.
Yeah, Brian.
I think that's you, Brian.
Yeah, he's talking about you.
No, he's not. I was quiet back here.
You, the other guy.
I'm working on my next family vacation back here while you guys ramble away.
I forgot Hollywood was here for a while.
Like, yeah, bro. I have my head down. I'm just, no, man.
Is this the first time you've been called a douchebag on the air?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. I just didn't know if we were here for that first
time.
There's
a couple people living in parents' basements that are a little mad at certain things in life. So it's all good, man. Get your frustration out. I'll see you on the water and this weekend.
That's what you get, though.
Is it? That's
for
really
calling
what
him a Mark Zuckerberg look-alike.
Punk.
I mean, you kind of look like him.
No, I don't stop.
You know, you guys are both white, so you know.
Check. Oh, okay, we're both white.
Check.
Well, that's the thing. Check. You take me out on the boat, I won't be as pasty.
You won't, but you might scare the ladies. Or they're gonna be like, "Is that a ghost?" Oh, Jesus!
I won't scare the ladies. I just won't talk to them.
Why not?
Well, he won't talk to anybody,
bro. Like, I haven't talked to a girl outside of my wife probably in like 20 years. So I don't.
So practice makes. I'm not saying to hit on them.
I'll just stand next to you and look cool.
Damn. You know what? I'm inviting you just to see exactly what you were doing.
And someone better have a video of this also. No, the interaction.
Just bring a bottle or whatever you drink these days, all right?
That's rule number one.
No phone, no video, nothing?
Don't put nothing out there. That's what's wrong with this
generation. Yeah, but it's a Hollywood thing.
No, he's right, though, man.
That's what's wrong with this generation.
When we go on our yacht, we don't bring...
We go on our yacht. Right. I love this. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. Do I have tons of video in my phone? Yes. Have you ever seen it on any of my social medias?
No.
Because that's how you get
trouble. Wait a minute. I can imagine what the videos on your phone are. Just in the back of my head, closing my head, that's fine. If Hollywood comes on with like a fisherman hat, a long sleeve shirt.
Oh, you want pictures of that, yeah.
I got to have something.
I'm going to get documentation.
Especially if you do bring a couple ladies on the boat.
What do you mean, if?
Okay,
all right, we
got
to get to Dave Hyde. You can talk about my boat excursion later.